You're listening to another episode of Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
All right, Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And this is episode, I don't know.
We don't know. It's not episode 176.
It's mystery number.
It's a mystery number episode. It's more of like an ad hoc episode.
Tell us what the episode number is.
It is an ad hoc. We have a very special guest who claims that he just wants to listen. He is not going to contribute to the show. We'll see if that...
bodes true.
Yes, because he does have a live mic, John. A live mic. So he can chime in whenever he'd like. If he wished.
If he so wishes.
And beforehand, you know, we said we can disguise his voice.
Yeah.
And you put a couple of voice disguise things on.
Disguisers. You know,
and he said, I'll talk in my own voice. So I don't know what that means. He said he wasn't going to talk.
What does that mean? I don't know what that means.
But then he says he's going to talk in his own voice. So we'll see if he does contribute to this very special mystery number show of John and Scott.
John and Scott. Stop it.
So what's
up,
Johnny?
Do that? What do you got to do that for? What is that?
Well, you know, I got the shaved ice, but it all melted together into this one big cube.
So you got to do that? What does that do?
I'm crushing it right now.
Crush it
with
your
my fingers.
Slam it into your face.
So since we last podcast, John, a lot of things going on. I am going to Ireland for school. That is a big deal. We had a gig that we had to, well, we didn't have to cancel. We had a gig that we had to disrupt, and we had to cancel a gig the week later. I don't know if you wanted to talk about that or not. Then our next
Thanks
gig.
Thanks for asking before the show.
Our next gig is Saturday after Thanksgiving at the Beacon Tap. You going to be there, mystery guest?
Possibly.
If you do, you can stay with me, all right? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
That's fine.
You can stay at my abode. Yes. Yes. Oh, I went to Eagle River over this wonderful Memorial Day. Or was it Labor Day?
Labor Day weekend. I got a new car.
Yes, I saw the new car. You went with the beige. The beige.
No.
It's not beige? What is
it? Sonora sand.
Sonora sand.
Sonora sand.
Anyway, John, when I was in Eagle River, you know that all my relatives up in Eagle River are very conservative. I think we've discussed that before. Actually, mystery guest has come with me to Eagle River, and he got along very well with all my relatives because he himself is a conservative.
A Nazi.
Would you consider yourself a Republican?
Yes.
Yes. So when I'm up there, of course, my aunt tries to...
Is this a dating game?
My aunt tries to bait me by saying...
She tried to indoctrinate you.
This Obamacare, yeah, that's going to go over. And I ignored her, you know. And then she said, before you know it, we'll be goose-stepping because of this Obamacare. And I just,
oh my God.
I don't get
that. You should have launched right there.
Well, no, I just said, oh, you know, that's right. I forgot my history. That's how Hitler came to power. He
started with health care.
Yeah, he started with health care. And then he said, you know, I don't want to pay for all the goddamn Jews. Let's exterminate them and create a master race. And that's where the goose step came in. But, you know, and then we just dropped it. We didn't go any further than that. But you know what's really interesting? I haven't really followed this healthcare debate at all. Not at all. But I tell you this, John. I see benefit of privatized healthcare, and I see benefit of government-run healthcare. And really, I have no idea what the answer is. I don't have an idea. But if somebody wanted to talk to me about it, I would talk to them about it. I wouldn't shout at them.
Right.
That they're Hitler and that they're Nazis and other things. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That far right of Cookie Town.
The one thing about government-controlled health care, which people call socialism, which I just don't get because we have fire, police, highways, infrastructure, post office.
Yeah.
You know, the post office is a good example because you have post office, but then you have private companies.
Yeah.
UPS, FedEx.
Hasn't put UPS out of business.
Right. If you want to do a little, if you want more service or a different type of service, you have an option. I don't know if it costs more. I'm assuming it costs more.
Yeah.
But that option is out there. So if you do have government-run healthcare, it really limits what the insurance companies can do. And that's the biggest issue I have with healthcare in America, is insurance companies are responsible to their shareholders and to make profit.
Well, ask any of these people if when they're, you know, 65, you're not going to collect Medicaid or Medicare, are you? Or Social Security. You're going to give all that up, right? And go to the private sector.
Well, that's what the W wanted.
Yeah, and look what would have happened if that really happened with the credit default swaps.
Right.
Thanks to Phil Graham and that dummy Clinton.
So I think there's a nice balance there. If you have some government intervention for insurance,
but
you still have the
primary
option.
Primary care.
Right.
You're talking like you're in between jobs. You can't get some decent health care. You got a whole family to support. You're on the government option for a while, and then you get into a company and. Or if you want better health care, you pay a premium.
Right. And because that's, my wife brought up a great point. I was talking to her about it, and she said, well, if they do, if they go all government with health care, that means that the best and brightest doctors don't get compensated for being the best and brightest. They're just a doctor in the system.
That's right, it stinks!
So I think there has to be some private and then some nationalized healthcare. Am I a socialist saying that? No.
Mayo Clinic is, those are salaried doctors, and that's like the shit right there, man.
That is the shit. Mystery guest, do you have anything to say about that?
I just don't like government-run healthcare.
Why not?
I just don't like it. I don't.
Why? When have you ever experienced it?
Look.
Yes.
Anything that the government runs is a joke.
The post office is a joke.
Yeah.
So
the
fire department
is
a joke.
So if your house is on fire, what are you going to do?
The police department is a joke. That's what you're telling me. And that's why. That's why we can't do it.
I don't want to sit there and be like in the DMV, just like the DMV and stand in line for healthcare. It's stupid.
That is an excellent point. Now, I'm sorry, mystery guest has now said, has now made, he's given us an analogy, the DMV. I got to tell you, I go to the DMV.
That's a good one.
In Deerfield.
I want to punch somebody in the face
I am in and out.
Me too.
Nobody goes to the one in Deerfield.
Oh, no, I go to the one all the way in Naperville, or Wheaton, I think it is, because the one around here, Schaumburg and Golf. On Golf Road.
Oh, that's a nightmare.
It's the worst.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying now.
People are so miserable. And I saw a guy get caught cheating on the driver's test.
Really?
Yeah.
And they booted him?
Yeah.
Nice.
Snatched it out of his hand and said, you can leave now.
What, was he looking at somebody's answers?
No, he had a book.
Oh.
He had a book with all, he was looking it up in the rules of the road. He'd get a question, he'd be like, here it is.
Well, let's get back to mystery guest point. I think he made a very valid point. I don't want my health care to be run like the DMV. Now, whether that would play out, I don't know. I mean, it may. I mean, you may have to go to the DMV-like facility and wait in line. DMV, for all you UK listeners, is where we get our driver's licenses. And it's a painful process. Very painful. Unless you go to the right DMV.
But the difference is everybody has to go to the DMV to get a driver's license. And just because the one here in Illinois sucks ass, the one in Minnesota could be great.
That's
maybe
true.
Maybe they serve you cookies and tea. Who knows?
Or like the post office model, you can go to the post office if you want, or you can go to UPS or FedEx. You know?
And here's the thing, I think, mystery guest, is that you're right. If it is totally government run, it's probably going to suck. But if it's a combination of government-run, which is just primary health care, something that you just need to get by, like unemployment. Nobody wants to live on unemployment. I don't. I couldn't live on unemployment. It sucks. Yeah, there's people that do it. But nobody wants to live like that. Nobody wants just the primary care. I don't want to get a transplant for a kidney and have to wait on a gurney in some dirty hallway. But you know what?
What, Marty?
And you know what? If I had, you know, I was between jobs, I didn't have a job, or I was self-employed, and it cost me $1,000 a month to get family health care, in order to survive to feed my family, yeah, I'd do it. But we're talking about having primary care as an option, and then having premium care, the stuff you get through your job, you know, that, what's wrong with that? It's like having the post office to mail a letter because it costs you 42 cents, and having UPS to send a big freaking box because you can get tracking numbers.
Right. Well, the whole thing about it for me is the insurance companies, and you know, you pay into these things, and then all of a sudden, oh, that's a pre-existing condition. We're not going to cover you for that anymore. Well, then give me all my money back that I paid into the system if you're not going to cover me anymore.
There you go.
And this for-profit and
something like that.
The focus of insurance companies has a really negative effect, I think, on healthcare. The other thing is they can lobby Congress to pass laws in their favor, and I just really don't like that. And then when you look at the statistics, John, like you said, if somebody's down on their luck and they're working through unemployment trying to get another job. Healthcare costs are the number one reason that they really get in a fucking hole that they can't crawl out.
Even with the healthcare that you have now, you're one major illness away from going broke. Totally.
Right. That's not the American dream I know, John.
I got a guy at work who was like, yeah, fuck that government healthcare, blah, Obama, blah, blah, blah. Because he's been so lucky with the company he works for that... they took care of him. The guy's had major surgery on his neck. He's had like 3 heart attacks and open heart surgery. And the company covered it all. They paid him his full salary for 6 months. Now, most companies don't do that. They don't pay the full salary. They pay you like 60% on short-term disability. And you pay a shitload more on your health care. At the time, for a family of 4, we were paying like $182 a month. Now I'm paying $400. Healthcare costs go up. The company was covering like 90%, 80% of it. 80-90% of everybody's cost. And usually it's 20%. 20-30% is the burden on the employee. We were only paying like 7-10%.
Well, you see, I think we're getting into too much detail here. But the important point, John, is we had a conversation with our Mr. Guest about healthcare, and we weren't shouting at each other. We weren't calling each other Hitler or Nazis. And he brought up a valid point about the DMV, you know, and we brought up some points about insurance companies, and we had an exchange of ideas. That's the way it should happen. Every time I see these public debates on healthcare on TV, it's makes me nauseous. Will you stop playing with your goddamn ice, mystery guest? You're really getting on my nerves.
How do you like it?
And I think one of the last posts on the John and Scott blog was a video of one of these protests at a Catholic church. And to listen to these goddamn morons who get their information from Fox News and Glenn Beck. Mystery guest, do you watch Fox News?
Yeah.
Glenn Beck? Bill O'Reilly.
Once in a while, yeah.
Oh, I did.
I just slapped myself.
I did
I'm
see.
Torturing myself right now.
Bill O'Reilly over the weekend at my up in Eagle River with the conservative family. And Bill O'Reilly made me laugh, John. He made me, genuinely made me laugh. He had a clip of our former governor, Blagojevich, doing an Elvis impersonation. It's some festival, some summer festival. And it was awful. And then after the clip ran, Bill O'Reilly said, they should have given him 10 years just for that. And I thought it was very funny, and I laughed. Bill O'Reilly is very funny on that one occasion.
Fuck you!
Do you go anywhere else to get your news, mystery guest, other than Fox News?
Yeah, of course.
Where? Where do you go?
Just
local, CNN? Local?
Just local stations.
And you know what?
Local.
Like what?
The local Fox station?
Not in Illinois, no.
No, no.
Hannity?
You like Hannity?
Michael Savage?
Glenn Beck?
I'll listen to Hannity once in a while.
No doubt.
So what do you guys think? You think Chicago should get the Olympics?
No.
I don't care. I don't know. The other thing is...
It's going to lose money, and we're going to have to pay for it, Scott.
They took Blagojevich down. They cannot take this Mayor Daley down. I can't. Every week, there's another expose on the corruption. And when you're talking about the Olympics, they had some guy who got a hold of the Olympic plans, like where they're going to develop if they do get the Olympics. And one of Mayor Daley's buddies bought up all this land that's earmarked for development. So then when it's time, if they do get the Olympics, he'll sell it back at five times the price. And nobody makes a stink of this. Nothing sticks to this guy. Nothing.
He's Teflon.
It's unbelievable. Every week there's a different corruption story about Daley. What do you think of Daley there, mystery guest?
I think he's an asshole.
There you go. We finally agree on something. Nice. That's nice.
What do you think of...
I don't think we should have the Olympics.
Blagoya blah blah, Mr. Mystery Guest.
Blago.
He's a crook.
Right on.
Well said.
He said he was taken out of context. Yeah. All those statements he made about...
You know, this is golden. I need to make some money off of this. I ain't going to do it for free. No, I was taken out of context.
Yes,
I didn't out mean of context. That. I meant I was going to trade it for education. And
so what else, John? You see any good movies?
A devil like Barack Obama.
Right on. Obama. What do you think of Obama, Mr.
Why do you think this country elected a devil like Barack Obama?
I don't have a comment.
No comment on Barack?
No.
The Messiah? Nothing. You don't want to say nothing. He spoke to the kids in school today. Did you know that?
I'm sorry for the delay.
I heard something about that.
He was indoctrinating them. Yeah. That's what I heard.
Yeah.
Into what? Socialism? Is that what he was doing, John?
Yeah, he was indoctrinating them just like Reagan did and President Bush did.
Well, you know, the thing that bugs me...
Bonk!
I'm sorry, mystery guest. Bonk! You went to Main West, right? And we saw Reagan, right? When he came to school?
With the Joker.
Look at he stops playing with his ice. Now he's going to slap his phone in the mic. So Reagan shows up at Main West. And I don't know if you guys remember this, but there was like a Christian element to it. There was a moment of silence and all this other crap. If you want to get pissed off about something, get pissed off about that, Tony. I mean, mystery guest.
We have a plan working now that is aimed at 1993 of bringing us down each year. Last year, we reduced the deficit by around $70 billion.
Did they just wake him up?
And this year, we're aiming at about another 30, and so forth. But that is the thing, and I think that what we're going to have and what I want to strive for is an amendment to our Constitution that requires the government every year to balance the budget.
Hear, hear. I dig that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Were you there, Mr. Guest, when Reagan showed up in high school?
Yeah.
And we all had to yell and holler and then do the religious stuff, which, what happened to separation of church and state?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't remember.
That's what you get pissed off about. You don't get pissed off because Barack wants to go on and tell the kids to work hard and school's important and to get an education. What's the indoctrination?
Yeah.
What are they talking about? Is that swaying them to a secular position? It's crazy.
Oh, this little black girl gets up and asks Reagan a question.
Question is, Mr. President, for the past
for the past years, the educational opportunities for blacks and other minorities have not been, there hasn't been a great deal of them. And I want to know, during your term in office, what have you done to increase those educational opportunities for us?
Well, we have vastly increased the amount of federal money that is going into education, although remember that education is, has always been in the province of the state and the local communities. So the share of cost of education is not as great for the federal government. But we have increased it. We've increased the money that is available for scholarships and for workfare programs for students that have to work their way through, as I did. And also for loan funds for students. I can assure you that with regard to any hint of discrimination, we have done more than any other generation, or administration, I should say, to punish those who attempt to discriminate and to make sure that the opportunities are equal for all.
Oh, no, he's not. Not even close.
One of the great things that our administration did when we came in here was immediately turn on to helping something that I think is historically wonderful in our country, and that is the
What
Negro.
Was her question? I'm sorry,
she's
I stepped
like,
on
she's
the best
like
part.
She's like 12 years old. And
I stepped on the best part. What was the question? I can't even remember. How
well,
are you helping
She's
us?
Like 12 years old. She's like, what are you doing to help minorities as far as education? And she wasn't necessarily talking about college. She was talking about, you know, just public school. You know, the city, shit like that.
Negro private colleges and universities.
You should see the look on her face, on this girl's face.
That I think is historically wonderful in our country, and that is the Negro private colleges and universities.
This girl's like, what did you say?
Oh, one more thing about healthcare. You know who we should really talk to about this? And he's reached out to us privately, John. Stephen C. And he said he wants to come on the show, Skype in the show.
Oh, yeah,
and
he's got a baby, new baby.
And he doesn't the Great Britain there have the national healthcare, John?
Oh, yeah.
And we should get his take on it. Is it good? Is it bad? What's good?
Some
What's bad?
Some don't like it. A guy I work with, his wife, just had a baby. And she had it here in the States, and she said she will never have her baby in the another baby. If she has another baby, it won't be in the UK. Because there's like six women in a room and one doctor bouncing back and forth between each woman. And he's like, and you're laying there with your privates wide open.
Oh, they're in the same room?
Yeah.
Well, my wife had the same experience with our first daughter, but she was in a separate room. But there was one doctor bouncing between six rooms. And he was late getting back to her, so the nurses delivered our daughter.
Nice.
But they weren't in the same room.
You don't need no doctor.
Yeah. It's natural.
Yeah.
Right?
Women used to have them in the fields.
Yes, in the fields. Isn't that right, mystery
guest?
And
go right back to work.
Yep.
Is he sleeping?
No. No, he's taking it all in. I can see the hamster spinning.
I don't need anything.
I can see the hamster spinning the wheel.
Cubs 9-4.
What do you think about those Cubs, mystery guest, huh?
They suck.
All right then. So what else, John? You see any good movies?
You know, we should get a soundboard of mystery guest and just play this sound bites.
Yes. And he could be our guest every show.
Right, mystery guest?
Yeah, something like that.
Are you going now?
See you later.
Movies, man. Movies. See any good movies?
Get a job, you bum!
The only one I saw was I Love You, Man.
Wasn't that great? Have you seen that, mystery guest? I Love You, Man?
No.
Rent that. Do what you need to do to see that movie. It's very, very funny. Paul Rudd is in it. I Love You, Man. It's good. It's good.
Have you seen any movies, mystery guest?
Not lately.
What's your favorite all-time movie?
I don't know, maybe The Godfather.
The Godfather. Right on.
What about Tony Montana?
Yeah, Scarface. What about Song Remains the Same?
That's another good one.
Huh? The one you saw 25 times at the midnight movie, Song Remains the Same. Is that a good one?
Awesome,
25
man.
Times.
Oh, yeah, that's no right. doubt.
The Reagan wants to say something again.
It's also a moral vision, grounded in the reverence and faith of those who believe that with God's help, they could create a free and democratic nation. They designed a system of limited government that, in John Adams' words, was suited only to a religious people such as ours.
How about that?
What?
That's what he said to the kids in his speech to the school children.
Oh, isn't that great? Talk about indoctrination yeah. and brainwashing.
And talking about religion and God in the Constitution.
And John and Adams government. Didn't want any part of that. What an ass Reagan was. What do you think about that?
Bonk.
I mean, mystery guest.
Bonk.
There's going to be a lot of post-production in this one.
Yeah, thanks.
Sorry about that. So you haven't seen Inglourious Basterds yet?
No,
John.
No.
Well, we got to go. When are we going to go, man? Do you want to see it?
Yeah.
Does your wife want to see it?
Probably not.
Probably not. So we have to have...
She might. I mean, it depends, you know.
A date. You need to find out. Because I want to see it again. I loved it. I liked it a lot. I like it a lot. Oh, I saw the last 30 minutes of Dewey Cox, Walk Hard, Dewey Cox. Have you seen that one, Mr.
No.
Guest? That was very funny. I want to rent it and see the whole thing, yes. Yes.
All right, moving right along.
What else did I see? I saw something else that was good. I can't remember what it was. Moving right along.
Yeah. Hey. Steve Dahl is back on the air.
He is. What channel?
Yeah. iTunes.
iTunes. That's not the air.
Yeah.
That's podcasting. That's what Kevin Matthews does.
Yeah, that's what he's doing now. He says if he gets like 5,000 downloads a month or a day or something, it'll be a million a year. I don't know what that means exactly.
And then what?
The classic game of Mastermind is now...
And he'll still suck.
I said that. Anyway.
Why did they can him anyway?
Espo's here.
Because he blows.
Listen to him. He is copiously taking notes for a... what are we calling it? Show log. So we have... And Stephanie is here too, but she might not be here right now because I sent her out to get water. Because it's too hot
great.
Down in the basement.
It's a great
because,
show.
During
he needs
several
to start
of
drinking
our,
again.
Rehearsals.
He rehearsed this?
Yeah.
Hi, Steph. She's
you
want to
hear the rehearsal?
Then, please?
No.
Here's
please.
The classic game of Mastermind is now for the iPhone and the iPod Touch. For Mastermind, the app that fans to the Mastermind
app. He's got sponsors
suite.
Already.
And it's just 99 steel. Life on the iPhone.
Shut
the
up.
Super Mastermind.
What the fuck?
Series of multiple tests that have... And the series of multiple tests that have gone on for... well, quite some time. My watch.
That production is for shit.
I know.
Don't even know.
He needs me to produce.
Las Vegas. There's no clocks. There's no lights. It's a fake light. Fake light coming through fake window wells here in the catacomb basement studios of the Steve Dahl podcast, which will begin on Tuesday. Pete, if you're going to move your mic around and make
Sorry.
A sound, then say something.
Well, I was going to...
People think I'm scratching my balls with my microphone.
I was going to compliment you on your tan, your wristwatch tan line.
Thank
that
you.
I
it is awesome.
Your wristwatch
yes,
tan line.
What do you think of that, mystery guest? Was that great? You going to subscribe to that podcast?
No.
Of course not. You don't even subscribe to ours. You know why, John?
Why?
Because he didn't have a PC.
What?
Yeah. Guy's in the dark ages.
No wonder he listens. See, I think the people that do listen to Hannity and Rush, they don't have computers. They can't go out and check real news, you know, the independents out online, get the wealth of information.
Would you like to respond to that comment, Mr. Guest?
They get one one type of information.
One that fits their predetermined mindset.
Right.
What do you think about that, mystery guest?
It's possible.
It is possible. Very good. Moving on.
Did you hear about this crazy preacher, man?
I did hear about him. I actually listened to his entire sermon at work. It was like an hour long. He's the guy, he's the white guy who's going after Obama.
Hey, why do you think this country elected a devil like Barack Obama? Why? Because the news media crammed him down our throat.
You mind me as a devil?
You know what? Get the hell out of here if you don't like this kind of preaching. Because, you know, Barack Obama's a devil. Barack Obama's a partial birth abortion. If you don't like to hear the truth, then get the hell out of my church, because I'm here to tell you something. Barack Obama is for partial birth abortion. Barack Obama is a murderer. Barack Obama is wicked as hell. And you would not let the door hit you on your way out, buddy. Because Barack Obama is wicked. And the other...
It's like there's only three other guys in the room with him. Three, and one of them's like, well, I don't agree with that. Don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out.
Buddy.
Amen.
There is no universal church found in the Bible. Yet the Southern Baptists in their statement of faith believe in a universal church. Yet the United Methodists in their statement of faith believe in a universal church. You say they don't believe that. Look, the United Methodists, 10% of their preachers are queers. Don't even try to defend the United Methodist Church to me, brother. They got a dyke and a faggot behind the pulpit. If you don't like that word, then go find another church. Go find one of these queer churches that'll put the faggot behind the pulpit. I'll stand behind the pulpit and call him the faggot that he is. And if you don't like that kind of preaching, nobody forced you to be here this morning. I'm here to preach the Bible, and I'm sick of that. Hey, let me tell you something. Our country's run by faggots. Yeah. You know who wrote this $700 billion bailout bill? You know who was the man who was the architect of the bailout? His name was Barney Franks. He's a pedophile. He's been arrested for interacting with boys that are in their teenage years when he's in his 50s. It's in the news. He's been arrested for it. He is a pedophile. He is a homosexual. He has stood up in the floor of the sacred halls of justice in this country and said, I am gay, I'm a sodomite, that's Barney Frank, that's who just sold our country into fascism, that's who just sold our corporations to the government, that's who sold out our country, a faggot, and I'm here to tell you something, I'm not going to stand by and let a faggot run the church. It's bad enough that we got a bunch of faggots running the government. You think I'm going to stand by and let some faggot run the church?
Amen.
See, I don't like that word. Why don't you like? What word do you like? Gay? Gay means happy. Gay means joyful. I'm happy. I'm joyful. He's a faggot.
Really, there's... How many people are in that church?
I don't know. He never shows the audience. Like,
oh, that's
four.
Too bad. I would imagine...
He was the preacher that got tased about 40 times when he was trying to cross the border, and he wouldn't get out of his car. And the department, the border patrol said, hey, man, get out of your car. And he's like, no, I don't have to. You don't have a right to detain me. I'm American. And they're like, sir, please get out of. And they did it for like a half hour. Finally, they smashed his window in from the other side. And he's videotaping it. And across the screen, it says, here's where I close my eyes. Because they told him to close his eyes because of the glass. Mm-hmm. And then you see him, you see the gun, like, the taser gun point through the hole in the window, and then you hear, then you see the camera drop, and it's great.
Yeah, the guy's nuts. I mean, if you, let's say you're new in town, right, and you bring your family, let's go to church, and then you got to listen to that guy.
Yeah.
And somebody challenges him, and he loses his mind, and then the guy next to you is going, amen, amen, brother.
And I kept seeing this phrase, and I studied this phrase in the Bible. It's used six times, and it's used by God. It's used out of the mouth of God. And it's when the prophet is preaching to the king of Israel, Jehu, and he says, Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and he says, thus saith the Lord. He said, I will destroy from Jeroboam him that pisseth against the wall. Have you ever seen that phrase in the Bible? Put it up here. Him that pisseth against the wall. You see that in the Bible. It's used six times in the Bible. And it's, you know, six is a significant number in the Bible. It's the number of a man. You know, there are different numbers that represent different things in the Bible. Like seven is the number of completion, you know. Five is the number of death
And you'll see that all throughout the Bible. People being killed under their fifth rib. Genesis 5:5, Acts 5:5, on and on. You'll see different numbers and significance of numbers. And the six times this phrase is used in the Bible. And you say, oh, I can't believe you speak that way. That's vile. I'm sorry, but the Bible says that the words of Jesus Christ are wholesome words. And the Bible says every word of God is pure. And so don't accuse me of using bad language. That's what the Bible says. He said, I will destroy him that pisseth against the wall. Now, do you ever stop and think, what did God mean by that? Did he mean, well, I mean, what did he mean? Obviously, what is he talking about? All the men, right? He said, I'm going to kill all the men.
Get to the point already.
Because there's a difference between men and women. Men piss against the wall. Women don't. Okay? And so God said, he used that language. He used that expression. And by the way, that expression is only in the King James Bible. The New King James eliminates it. This is what the New King James says. Males.
That's why males. I piss sitting
and, you know,
down,
the guys who, yeah, it, they are males. They're not men. And God said a man is somebody who pisses against the wall. Did you know this? When I was in Germany, and you're not even going to believe this. See, why are you preaching this? Because it's in the Bible. Okay.
The
I was
Germany
in Germany
part?
And I went to use the restroom in Germany in several different people's houses. I mean, totally different people. And even in public places, they had a sign that prohibited a man from peeing standing up. I'm not kidding.
That's blasphemous.
That's where we're headed in this country, my friend. We got a bunch of pastors who pee sitting down. We got a bunch of, and you say, oh, you know, you're being vile. I'm not, hey, then God's being vile. God's the one that wrote the Bible, my friend. We got pastors who pee sitting down. We got the President of the United States probably pee sitting down. We got a bunch of preachers. We got a bunch of leaders who don't stand up and piss against the wall like a man. And I'm going to tell you something. That's what's wrong with America. You don't like it? You don't like an old-fashioned Bible that tells you what being a man's all about? Because it's called the King James Bible. And if you don't like that term, piss against the wall, then you know what? Go to the bookstore this afternoon and buy a new King James. It'll take out that word. It'll take out the word damnation. It'll take out the word hell about half the times. It'll take out the word Jehovah, the name of God. It'll take out anything in the Bible that has any power to it. It'll take out anything that tells you how things are supposed to be. But you know what? 400 years ago, pastors used to stand up and preach that a man needs to be a man. Amen. Not a male. Not the males. It's because the editors of the NIV pee sitting down.
Amen.
It's because the editors of the New King James, they all pee sitting down. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to pee sitting down. I don't care if it's Germany. I'm going to Germany in about a month. You better know I'm going to stand up everywhere I go.
I'm done listening to him. He's too way over the top for me. But really, if you're going to be literal about the Bible, that's your go-to guy, right? That's your go-to guy.
Yeah.
Mystery guest has said that he has to leave.
I'm eating liquor.
Before you leave, mystery guest, do you have any parting words?
What was that?
Thanks for having me on.
Of course. Anytime.
Oh,
mystery guest.
Anytime, man.
I have an idea for a game show.
I have to go.
I need to talk to you about.
To talk to me?
No.
Or him?
Mystery guest. And you. Yeah.
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 I have to work early tomorrow, so I'm going to go.
He's got to work early tomorrow.
See you later.
Thanks, John.
It's only 9 o'clock.
Yeah, he started at 6:30 in the morning.
You got to use the bathroom?
He's got a long way to go, too.
I don't know what to say, because I ain't never talked to no door before.
Yes.
You know?
You call Duke. You tell him my bike came. I don't care. Anywhere, anytime.
All right, then.
You going to walk him out, man?
No.
Why?
Know his way out. You know your way out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to mute his mic.
Thanks for having me on.
Course.
Anytime, man.
Mystery guest.
Be careful. There's no railing.
You are the man. Well, he made it down
the
stairs.
What? Yeah, but he's going up now.
Well, he fell in front of the studio, though. He made it down the stairs. He can make it up the stairs.
Those steps are very uneven, man. If he falls, I'm going to kick you in the nuts so hard.
What am I going to do?
Catch him.
Catch him?
Yeah.
Forget that.
That's real cool. So, Bonk. He had to run. Oh, sorry.
Yes.
Bonk.
Mystery guest had
to
run.
Mystery guest had to go bye-bye.
I gotta go now, but don't you leave town, huh? See you later.
So what else?
I don't know. Cubs are bottom of the ninth, 9-4. Pirates are up.
Check out the new blog post on John and Scott.
Yeah.
Blog. I still haven't linked, you know, to our homepage. Hey, you sent me the admin password for the forum, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, admin? Oh, that's what you needed.
Check
that
out.
No, I didn't.
You sent me my password?
I sent you a new password.
A new one. Okay, yeah. That'll work. That'll work. Yes.
Yeah, I did. I did read the blog. You had this nice blog about healthcare.
I did?
Yeah.
Oh, with the video. Yes.
I have not followed healthcare debate in these here United States of America too closely, but I will make a couple of observations about this video.
Yes, and that's what we talked about tonight. Every time I see healthcare debated in a public forum, it's just a shouting match.
You're a neo-maxi-zoom dweeby.
Can't we just bring it down a little bit and exchange an idea? Is that possible?
Can't we all just get along, Scott?
We did with conservative mystery guest. Conservative Republican mystery guest.
Yeah.
We got along.
He wasn't juiced up enough.
No.
You have to bring him over when he's staying at your house.
Right.
How are you?
Then we'll hear a lot of this. Look. Listen.
Look.
No.
So we had a gig. You want to tell that story? I don't recall much of it.
Not really.
No. All right. Joining us this week.
The one we had to cancel?
Well, we that played one.
Well, we played one, right? Well, we didn't make it through the first set.
Right.
Because John stopped and like the ninth song.
Possible.
I thought something was wrong with the sound, but he was like, no, man, I'm dizzy. So long story short, your wife took you to the hospital. You were there for 3 days.
Yeah.
They wouldn't let you go because they couldn't get your blood pressure under control.
No.
No, that's not why?
No.
Oh.
The first day when I got there, my blood pressure was like 213 over 110.
It was high.
Very high. And they sent me down for some CAT scan. And then they wanted to do an MRI, but... they tried to shove me in the machine.
Mm-hmm.
The first machine, they tried to get the mask on me, and they couldn't get it on me because of my shoulders.
Because you're so buff?
Yeah. So, well, I have no neck, you know. It's like head and then shoulders, and that's it.
Head and shoulders.
Yeah. And then the next one, they got it on me, but they started shoving me in the machine. I'm like, get me the fuck out of here right now. I'll fucking break this machine. And they're like... okay, I guess you're not very comfortable in there. Okay, we can wait. Wait for what? So they didn't do that. And I kept having these episodes. And they never...
Dizzy episodes.
And they were just giving me this medication to, like, make me kind of drunk, you know? And they said, well, we're going to keep you overnight because we ordered some more tests and we can't do them till the morning. It's another CT scan, and we want you to do an a echocardiogram and an MRI. Well, I said the MRI is out unless you put me in an open machine, so forget it. So they kept me overnight on the neurology.
The neuroscientist.
The neuro floor. And they were doing a stroke protocol on me. They made me touch my nose and touch their fingers and read stuff and look at pictures and identify what's going on in the pictures. And I aced everything. And the next day, I still couldn't get my shit under control, man. I was like having massive vertigo. So they gave me finally gave me my medication. They gave me some other shit. And... then the blood pressure went down to like, I mean, way down. They gave me some shit that made it go to like, I think it was like, 101 over 60, and then my heartbeat was like 60 in the middle of the night, and they kept giving me shots in my stomach. So they gave me, they took like 6 vials of blood the next morning. They kept doing the stroke protocol test on me. They sent me down for a CT scan with an injection of iodine. And it makes you feel, as it goes through your body, it makes you feel like you're pissing your pants. And took a scan of my brain. And that all came out. That came out normal. The first one came out normal. The blood tests all came out normal. Cholesterol was normal. No, I guess there's like something they look for, a protein, to see if you had a heart attack. That came out fine. Blood sugar was normal.
Long story short, everything's normal, but yeah, you still have.
But then they made me stay another day because I had to take this echocardiogram. And then I took it, and they brought me back, and they're like, well, you can't shower. And they give you fucking baby wipes to wipe your body with.
I'm nice.
Like, okay, I said, here's the deal. I'm taking a shower. You got a half hour to find somebody that gives me the okay, so you guys are off the hook. But no matter what, I'm going in that bathroom where that shower is, and I'm taking one. So hook me up with what I got to do to take the shower, because I'm going in anyway. Okay, okay, relax. I'm like, and I want to go home now. So they finally let me take the shower. Wrap my arm up, because they gave me 2 IVs, and I left on a Monday. I went in on a Saturday, left on a Monday, and the doctor saw me, and we had a gig that following Friday, and he saw me, and he's like, so what happens if you cancel the gig? Are you going to be like sued or something? I said, no. He goes, well, I'd rather be on the safe side. I wouldn't want you to take a chance. And you know what, dude? Ever since this happened, I have these little episodes here and there. I'm still having them. And Friday night, I had like one, like all of a sudden I felt like I was going to go right into the heavy vertigo. And my adrenaline shot through. And I said to the wife, I go, I got to go home, man. I'm not feeling too good.
Where were you at?
The Beacon.
Oh.
Having dinner. And I got really scared, man. I was like, what the fuck? It's really frustrating. And the doctor thinks it's my ears. He's got me on some other shit. And my wife's got to pick up some other medication for the dizziness.
So when you tell your wife you got to go home, she drives you home, right?
Well, actually, I found that when I drive, I feel a lot better. If I'm feeling kind of woozy, I get in the car. I feel great. It's the balance check, you know, and I don't know if it's the new medication they got me on. They got me on this clonidine, which is, it's almost a narcotic, man. It makes me really tired, and it's only a milligram. And so I was thinking of emailing Stefan C, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Say, hey, man, what else can I do? What else do I do?
They don't know.
So,
but it comes and goes.
We were going to go set up for this other gig on Thursday night, but we said, hey, why don't we just practice, see how you do? So we practiced, we got through 3 songs. You're like, yeah, I can't do it. So I called the guy, I was very apologetic, and I said, hey, we can't do the gig. I explained the story, he thought I was joking. I said, hey, this is no joke. Let me see if we can get another band. We can maybe do a DJ thing or a karaoke thing. But I'll give you a call back. So I called him back. I left a message. And then he called us back. And he was very upset.
At my house.
Yeah, he was very upset. And I really did not like the tone of his call. And I went through the fucking roof.
Yeah, you wanted to go faggot school on him.
And, you know, I thought about that afterwards. And that's only happened to me about 5 times in my life where I am so insane that I lose all rational thought. 3 of those times happened on the basketball court. And the only other time I can think of is when I was living with my grandmother for a short time, where I went completely insane.
On your grandmother?
Yes, I did go insane on my grandmother. So if 5 times, I can only count 5 times in my life that happened, and one of them was just a couple of weeks ago.
Wow.
And, yeah, I and I'm trying to figure out what set me off. What was it? You know, I put myself in this guy's shoes where, like, let's say I have a block party and I hire a band, or I want a band to come play, and they call me the night before and say they can't make it because the drummer is in this, it may have a stroke. I'm going to say, hey, don't worry about it, man. It's a block party. But this guy was very upset. And I think, I don't know if it was, I don't know what it was, but I was.
We were ruining his reputation, man.
I was fucking insane after this phone call. And then your wife heard some of the call, and she's like, let me call that cocksucker back. And I'm like, no, don't call him back.
Thanks for getting my back, man.
Yeah. So then,
so what happened after that?
Oh, yeah, I don't want to talk about that. So anyway, all I wanted to say about that situation is it was a unique situation for me. I've never gone that batshit insane. I've only done that on four other occasions, and three of those were on the basketball court.
Maybe you needed to.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem that you actually turned it into a violent act, except for once.
When was that?
We threw a basketball at some kid's head.
Oh, that's the other one I forgot. Oh, that's one of the basketball ones. Yeah. So that when I threw the basketball... No, but the other two basketball ones ended in violence.
Oh.
And the one with my grandmother did not end in violence. It was just a lot of yelling.
At your grandmother?
Yeah. And I never yell, really, at anybody. I'm very laid back. And I went off on my grandmother.
Did you say, fuck you?
Yeah.
Dude, really?
Yeah.
And your grandma?
Yeah, this is, 20 years ago?
They're old. They don't mean what they do.
Well, was she old at that? Well, she's in her 60s at the time. Maybe late 50s. 60s, early 60s. Yeah. Is that old? I hope not, because I'm, approaching that.
Are you sure, dude? Because I met her 20 years ago. She looked like she was 100.
Well, she was...
Heavy smoker.
Yeah, very heavy smoker and drinker since she was 12. So.
Hey, how you doing?
Good genes, though. She lasted into her 80s. So...
Yeah.
If I take care of myself, maybe I'll get to 80. She abused herself for
she made it to 80.
70 of those years and made it to 80.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it? That's all you want to say about
that
whole
it,
thing?
Yeah, that's it. Sure? So we had to cancel that gig.
Nothing
and then
else?
Rick was going to get us some more gigs, right?
Yeah.
Have you heard back from him? Did he...
He's working on it. Yeah, I went to his house. I went over to his place on Saturday. He was very lonely.
In our last practice, you...
Sunday I went over there to pick up my drums. Oh, I got a story, too.
Last practice, you went like an hour, straight before we had to take a break. You were playing well. You feeling well? Are you confident? I mean, here's what I want to... I don't want to do is show up with all this equipment set up and then have you go to the hospital again.
So you have to tear
so
all
that
down.
Rick and I have to tear everything down. That's what I don't want
I'm
to happen.
Sorry, man. Come on.
But are you confident? I mean, you said Friday you just had another one of these spells.
Yeah.
So what happens at a gig if you if this happens, are you going to run out to your car and drive around the block and come back? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now our next gig
is... Well, usually
is,
I lay my head down or I rest my hand on my head on my hand and I couldn't do that there. You know, we're outside and I don't know. I don't know what's going on. And I have this really bad back pain all the time now, right in my lower right back. I got to check that out. I think I got a hernia. I don't know.
It wouldn't be in your lower back. It'd be by your nads.
There's hernia.
Oh, there's a back hernia?
Yeah. You could have them all over, man. You could have a blowout
in
of
your
intestines
blame?
Anywhere. No, anywhere in your abdomen or back.
Abdomen.
But I bought a new car.
Yeah.
Actually, I leased one.
Nice.
So we had...
an Avalon.
Yeah, no. No. An Altima.
Altima, yeah.
Avalon. I went... My son had a football game at like 137th and Halstead, like way 15 miles away from Indiana. We drove to the middle of Blackville. There was literally, have you ever been somewhere where you pull up to a stoplight and every stoplight you pull up to, you're the only white person in a car?
Yes.
No, I mean, I mean, I've been on the south side, but I've seen white people milling about. This area is 86% black.
I was in that area.
Oh, you were?
I used to date a girl who, okay. Yeah.
Who?
And she would take me to meet her. Who? And
I asked her. She said she's never been that far. She doesn't know anybody that
lives down
there.
Well, wherever she took me, I was the only white guy that I could see.
And really white,
and
too.
I happened to have a shaved head at the time.
Oh, nice. But it was actually, it was quite nice. Once you turn into, like, the neighborhoods, it was like Elk Grove, you know? People are mowing their lawn, kids are riding their bikes.
What did you expect?
Well, you know.
Gangbangers?
No, yeah.
Crips and Bloods?
Yeah. I mean, South Side, man. I did see a couple guys walking down the street with paper bags with something in them. But then we got to the field in the park area because everybody was like, "Oh, dude, you're going down there? Fuck, man! Don't wear any jewelry, you know." And I'm like, "Why? What's the big deal? It sounds like a regular neighborhood. I mean, it's Riverdale. How bad could it be? It sounds like Elk Grove or something or Wooddale." And it was nice. They had a nice. We got our asses kicked. This team was unbelievable. And they had this really kick-ass, you know, they just had like a canopy and a couple of ladies and guys making, they had Smokey Joe grills out there and they're making burgers and dogs and Polish, Maxwell Street Polish. And it was fucking great, man. It was pretty nice. I was out sitting in the sun for 4 hours straight, man. Because you got to get there early. Every game, you got to bring the kid there like an hour before the game for warm-ups and all that shit. And so we had to sit there. Usually we drop him off and come back. And Rick, at the same time, his son had a football game in Zion, Illinois.
Zion, that's way up north.
Way
right?
Up north, yeah. He and you heard him at practice, didn't you, bitching about it?
Yeah.
But anyways, so then we came back home, and it's about 2:30. We shoot over to the dealership because the lease is up on my Murano, and I'm like, I got to get another Murano. But I went and test drove a CVR or CRV,
Honda.
Over at the O'Hare Honda. Nice car, too small, you know. I thought, I'm not going to be able to fit my shit back here, you know. It's not enough room. Go over to Nissan, drive a Rogue. Yeah, that's a piece of shit. I go, well, what do we do to get me back in a Murano? $520 a month.
What?
Yeah, for a Murano. I go, forget it. What is going on? He said, well, and I did a lot of studying on leasing, how they come up with the number they do, the interest rate, the money factor, how they depreciate, what percentage they use for the and now I forget.
Gas mileage?
No, you ass. There's depreciation and there's
appreciation.
Residual. That's what's left over when you turn it in. And back when I got my Murano, that was the shit right there. And they were throwing all kinds of deals out on the Murano. So I got a pretty good price on it. Well, I didn't want to give it up, man. It's my favorite car I've ever had. It's got to be the coolest car ever. And I'm like, okay, fine, I'll get another car. So we ended up looking at a Maxima and an Altima. And I remember the Altima I had before. I fit all my equipment in it, no problem. So I said, fuck it, I'll just get the Altima. I need 4-cylinder anyway, and I really want to reduce my payment by about $100. And the guy gives me, you know, we're rushing because we got to meet some people for dinner. And we go into the guy gives me a price. And I said, okay, that sounds about good. You know, and the car ends up being, it's an SL. It's a four-cylinder Altima. And it's fully loaded. It's got leather. It's got nav. It's got backup camera, Bose system, Bluetooth, hands-free phone, everything. And we fill out the paperwork, and I look at it, and I'm like, you know, something's wrong here. The net base that we negotiated on doesn't look right. And he's like, really? I'm like, nah, fuck it. I'll just sign it. So we sign it. We get home. Or we go to eat, and we get home, and I wake up at the next morning at 5 a.m. because I can't stop thinking about it. I'm like, the fucking numbers don't add up. So I come downstairs. I start calculating all the numbers out. I look at the sticker price, and I thought the sticker was like 32 grand for this car, right?
Mm-hmm.
Turns out it was $30,100, right? Sticker.
Right.
They based the lease off of $30,599. They added $500 to the sticker. I'm like, this fucker, fuck! I lost it. I was in beside myself. I was so pissed, and I couldn't go back because it was Sunday. So I went over to Rick's. I helped him put in a new faucet and all this stuff. And I'm like, honey, I swear to God, I'm going to drive the car right through the fucking window. I said, she's like, well, you got 3 days. I go, it's not true. That's for door-to-door salesmen. That does not apply to contracts. There's only a cooling off period when you're pressured when somebody comes to your door. I'm like, but he better fucking do something, man, or I'm going to lose it. So I go back. Yesterday they were open and the guy wasn't there. He's the general sales manager, and I waited for him. He shows up. Hey, what's up? What's the matter? I'm like, we need to talk right now. Okay, come in my office. I go, tell me how you got to this number. What? I'm not really familiar with lease pay. Don't give me that shit. I go, you've been working here 30 years. I bought 5 cars off of you. Tell me how you got to this number. I don't know. And I pull out the sticker, and then I look at some other bullshit he put down, and I'm like, what is this? Why do I need warranty? I don't need warranty. I go, the car comes with 3-year warranty. I got a 39-month lease. I paid for the first month already, and usually I turn it in 3 months early. So what the fuck is this? What is this? What is this? He starts writing shit down. He comes back, and the guy who did my lease paperwork, Scott, was the owner's son, who I got to talking to, who went to Tulane for like 3 years.
Oh, really?
Nah, he got there on a scholarship, a academic scholarship, and then failed out of the school. So he's my contact for restaurants. But anyway, turns out he made like 6 mistakes on the paperwork and fucked the whole thing up.
Wow.
And when they got done with it, bringing it back to where we had discussed, it came out to be $30 less. So it got to my goal of $100 reduction.
Nice.
On monthly payments. Yeah.
Nice.
I was very satisfied. Not only that, but they took my Murano in as a trade.
Mm-hmm.
So it reduced my taxes from like $2,400 to $700.
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
That is out of sight.
So I recommend anybody who wants to buy a car.
Don't go there because they'll make 6 mistakes and you'll have to wake up the next morning at 5 a.m.
I'm saying.
And go back in.
Go there, but check your paperwork, man, and see Steve Hara. He does a great job coming back and saying.
No, it sounds like it.
He did. He came.
Yeah, you got to call him on it.
Yeah, so what? I didn't have The other 4 cars, I never had a problem. The problem is, you know, I was rushed and I didn't pay attention. If I had caught the mistake and called him in, he'd have fixed it right then and there. Because he was, oh, dude, I owe you a major apology. I can't, you know, I don't know if he's sincere. Maybe he wasn't. But I could have had my boss, the guy I work with, he got a Murano. And he got totally screwed out of the deal. And he tried to go back the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy told him, sorry, contract's done. Fuck off. He paid $600 a month for his Murano. Well, our company did.
Oh.
Put it that way.
Yeah.
And he didn't even get the all-wheel drive.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
And when I told him what I paid, he was like, what? What the fuck? Yeah. I paid about $200 less.
Nice.
That was my weekend.
That's out of sight.
Did I wake you or something?
No.
You okay?
No, I was awake the whole time.
All right.
I just slapped myself. I'm torturing myself right now.
Yeah, so I think we're caught up. Caught up, right? Inglourious Bastards. We have to see that movie together, yes?
Yeah.
Walk Hard, Dewey Cox. Check that one out, yes?
Avatar in 3D, man.
When's that coming out?
December 18th.
Oh, that's too far away.
Well, we get it free, man.
That's
free.
Right.
Free.
That's right. So we got connections. Free.
Hey, I heard I was talking to somebody on Friday night. Saturday night, the people I went out to dinner with, one of them works at the same company you do.
Really?
And said they had a retreat night at the Trump Towers. Did you have that?
They used to do stuff like that before the merger.
Yeah.
And from what I understand, they're not going to do that from a company-wide perspective anymore. But the different departments within the company will do off-site overnighters.
Yeah, they did it.
But I haven't been on one yet.
She said the IT department's always a problem.
Of course. Big pain in the ass.
She is not necessarily you, the management, per se, she was saying. Seems to be a problem.
Really? Hmm. I'll have to have a conversation with her.
Like I don't know what it is, infighting or some shit like that. She didn't go into detail.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that. It's interesting.
All right.
All right, then.
Hey, why do you think this country elected a devil like Barack Obama? Why?
Why?
I mean, in liquor.
That's one question we forgot to ask the mystery guest.
What's that?
If Barack Obama was the devil.
Fuck you!
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was born in America, and so was Marty.
I was born in America.
That's right. Oh, that's the other question we forgot to ask the mystery guest.
What? Was he born in America?
Where was he born?
Oh. Where was he born?
America.
Oh, you mean where was the president born?
Yes.
Oh.
Not mystery guest.
All right. Well, I guess we're done, right?
Yeah.
Nice contribution, Scott.
Thanks
for the whole fucking... Jesus.
Jesus.
You didn't contribute anything.
Who? Mystery guest?
You.
Me? What are you talking about?
Yeah. Okay. All right, then.
I told you I didn't have anything.
Oh. Well, then why'd you want to do it?
Because we had mystery guest available.
And no, he was very helpful.
Yes. Yeah. When you think about it, all the post-production we're going to have to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the point?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. I guess that's all we have this week.
Yeah. But we will be back on track with 176.
We'll be back in November.
In an actual format.
We'll be back in November when Scott gets back from his fucking...
A template.
His fucking tour around the world.
Just to Ireland. Dublin.
Ah, me lucky charms.
Yes. Did I tell you what I'll be studying?
Cereal?
Irish film. And
why?
The role of alcohol in Irish culture.
That sounds riveting.
Oh, and I've been reading quite a bit on quantum mechanics, and I know why there's the wave-particle duality in quantum mechanics.
Really?
I know why. People know that it exists, but they don't know why. I know why.
You don't know why.
I know why.
Yeah.
Yeah. And well, it all has to do with special relativity.
Present it on, publish it.
I will.
Do a blog so it can be peer-reviewed.
No, I'll do it to the scientific community so they can peer review it.
That's what I'm saying.
I know why. So the I'm convinced I know why. Now I just have to... what's important, John, is to explain it so that everybody else understands my brilliance. And the other thing is
no.
that it's testable. That it's testable and makes predictions.
You're such a fucking coward, man. You will never allow your stuff to be debated.
Oh, no, I will.
No,
I will.
Won't. No, you
I will.
No, you're a sissy.
I'm not.
You sit and pee, man.
I sit and pee? What's wrong with that?
You're a male. You're not a man. You're males.
So watch out for that.
Yeah.
I don't know how soon I'll be able to put that paper together.
Fucking thesis we've been waiting on for the last 14 years.
But I figured out why. You know, and the whole reason is I am motivated to unify general relativity with quantum mechanics. But I've discovered you cannot unify these two theories. It's impossible. String theory, it's a waste of time. It's a mathematical solution to a theoretical issue. It doesn't work. But my solution. Now, here's the really interesting part, John. My explanation of the wave-particle duality of quantum mechanics will have implications on general relativity as well. Will it unify them? No. It will say there's a clear divide between the subatomic world and those things that we can observe.
Why?
I can't say. I don't want to give it away.
Why not?
I'll tell you offline.
All right. You don't want to give it away to who?
Give it away, give it away.
I mean, you say it on here, it's copywritten.
It is?
Yeah, didn't you put that out there? It's all copywritten.
Yeah, does that make it real?
Sure.
Copywritten?
Sure.
Or is it just fake copywritten?
It's published. We could present it in a court of law. There's a time stamp. There's a date stamp.
Well, it's in its infancy. You know, my idea.
Here we go, the backpedal.
When it's in the adolescence, maybe I will share it with our listening audience first before I publish.
Right now, it's just a crayon drawing.
And then go on to become, I'm only going to publish one paper. Einstein published three in 1905. That were spectacular.
So you're going to publish one.
I'm only
going to
publish one in 2009.
And somebody's going to go, yeah, we've already thought of that already. That's
it doesn't
the stupidest
work.
Fucking thing. Here, watch what happens when we cross the streams.
Yeah, nice try. Okay.
Nice try, asshole. All right, then. Cubs won.
Cubs win. They going to make the playoffs?
They got a long way to go.
I guess not.
No. They could. I mean, they're not mathematically eliminated yet, but they'd have to win like every game. And somebody'd have to lose
every game.
Some. No, that would be mathematical. Well, not quite mathematical elimination. All right, then, Scott.
All right, then, John. So, Stefan C., if you're listening, we need you to call in and talk about national health care in Great Britain. Or Andrew. Andrew can maybe give us an Andrew's Minute on that. And also, John, you have some questions for Stefan C. Maybe you want to take that offline.
Yeah.
You know. But he heard some of your diagnosis today, if he listened to the show.
My prognosis, diagnosis.
Whatever you call it.
I need you to do me a favor, man.
Yes. Anything.
Can you...
No.
Okay.
What is it?
Stefan C. sent me an email.
Yeah.
And I got like 86 viruses one night.
From Stefan C.'s email?
No. It was some email I got from some fuck. One of these Russian pieces of
shit. You actually clicked on it?
I don't know, delete those things. I don't know what I did. I fucked something up and everything started going wacky.
Uh-huh.
So I had to run a virus thing on this and had to do some work on my laptop. But I lost his email.
Oh, so you want me to forward Stefan C.'s email?
Yeah, about the announcement of the birth of his lovely baby.
Yes.
His daughter.
Yes, of course.
because I want to. And he sent me his address, but now I got to email him back and ask for his address again because I want to send him some stuff.
I dig it, man.
Yeah.
Of course, you're going to send it to him, and you know, like from John and Scott, right?
Okay. I am now, I guess. Nice stuff my wife bought for his kid from John and Scott. Not my wife, just from you and me.
Well, doesn't it have Total Talk Nonsense on it?
I'll throw a little... Hey, shut up, man.
Shut up.
The the surprise.
Hey, you got a post-production anyway.
Jesus.
Take that out.
I'm yeah. There. I'll get something we can put together in there. All right. All right.
All right then.
Are we done?
I'm done. You done?
I'm done, man.
Cool, man.
I'm John.
I'm Scott.
And we're out of here with this ad hoc
mystery
number
mystery ad hoc
show. Later.
Yes, later.
You're listening to John and Scott on Total Talk Nonsense.